St. John's telling of the Passion story begins in a garden. We heard that Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. It seems like a small detail, but it's a detail with tremendous implications for what is about to unfold. Where else do we hear about a garden in the Bible? Yes, the Garden of Eden, all the way back in the book of Genesis. Genesis says, "The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And in that garden, God makes every good tree and plant grow. He gives Adam everything he needs to be happy. He tells Adam he can eat from any of the fruit in the garden, any of the trees, save the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was at the center of the garden. God then creates Eve, and the two live in a state of happiness in that garden. Then we all know what happens next. The devil enters the story. He enters in to tempt them. He tempts them to doubt God's care for them. The devil says, the serpent says, God knows well that when you eat of the fruit of the tree, your eyes will be opened. You will be like gods who know good and evil. And we're told that the woman looks at the fruit. She sees that it's pleasing, it's desirable for wisdom. And so she took it, she ate it, and she gave some to her husband. Thus, we know that mankind falls into the state of original sin through this disobedience of Adam and Eve. The Garden of Eden becomes the site of mankind's fall from grace, the end of our friendship with God. And every bad thing enters the human existence. Our frailty, our sickness, eventually our death. And even then the earth fights against man. We're told that his existence becomes a drudgery. The weather turns against man. His life becomes very difficult. The Garden of Eden was a place of perpetual happiness, but it became a place of sadness and sorrow and alienation from God. Then we go to the Garden of Gethsemane in John's Gospel. And he tells us that it's nighttime. That is symbolic of man's state, of the state of original sin that has fallen over us after the fall. At the Last Supper, Jesus said that the ruler of the world, the devil, is coming. So like in Eden, the devil enters Gethsemane, this time in the person of Judas and the soldiers and the guards. And they carry lanterns and torches because the devil is a false light who glows only dimly and casts shadows. Once again, the devil is very active in a garden, and Jesus is handed over to his enemies. But this garden will be a very different garden, because from the Garden of Gethsemane begins the reversal of what happened in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is the obedient servant who does the Father's will and begins to reverse the disobedience of Adam. In the first reading today, we heard from the book of the prophet Isaiah, from the part of his writings called the Suffering Servant Song, where he foretells that God will send his chosen servant who will come to suffer. We heard that there was no stately bearing to make us look at him, that he was a man of suffering, one from whom people turn away. But Isaiah tells us that God's servant bore our infirmities. He was pierced for our offenses. By his stripes we were healed. God's suffering servant takes all of this on himself. He takes our guilt, our disobedience upon himself, your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole human family. And he reverses the disobedience of Adam. Often when we think of the crucifixion, we focus on the physical suffering of Jesus. And certainly, the physical suffering was awful. But his mental and spiritual suffering was much worse. Because Jesus piles on himself all of our sins. And he goes into that chasm between us and God that was created by the sin of Adam. That separation that we feel from God. And he goes down into that, and that's why he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? Because he's speaking as all of us, alienated from God. And that's the real suffering of the cross. That's what was needed to bring us back to God. Jesus goes down into that disobedience, that suffering, that state of separation from God, and brings us back with him. So that now, just as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil stood at the center of the Garden of Eden, now the tree of the cross stands at the center of human history. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, the cross flowers. The cross flowers and produces a greater fruit than that tree in Eden. The fruit of divine life and restored friendship with God comes from the cross. From the cross flows every grace and every gift that God bestows on us. From the cross come the sacraments. They receive their power from the cross. From the cross, we eat the fruit which brings life in this life and unto eternity, the fruit of the Eucharist. That's why the Easter proclamation, which we will hear chanted tomorrow night at the beginning of the Easter Vigil, says about what happened in Eden, O truly necessary sin of Adam, destroyed completely by the death of Christ. O happy fault that earned so great, so glorious a Redeemer. And that, my friends, is why we call this day Good Friday. Because Jesus reverses the disobedience of Adam, of our human family. And because the cross becomes the tree of life that blooms for us. Blooms with every good gift, greater than any that were found in the Garden of Eden. And as humanity was once expelled from Eden, Jesus invites us into the new garden of heaven, where we will be once again friends of God forever.